right. So I do want to take a little bit of time just to pray for Pastor John and the team that's in Egypt right now. It's Pastor John, Suzanne, Andrew, Noreen, and our mission partner, Ihan. So before we even begin, let's just lift them up in prayer as they are furthering the gospel in Egypt and doing a heart school over there. So Father, we thank you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you that you are victorious, Lord, that you are sovereign above all things. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your love for the nations. And I thank you, Lord, that we get to be a part of that, Lord, when we send mission teams out, when we support them in prayer, Father. So, Lord, we just lift up the team right now in Egypt, Lord. And I pray, Father, that your strong, strong presence would be with them. Father, we thank you for the good work that you're doing, that your kingdom is advancing. And so, Lord, we lift them up. We just declare your mighty protection over them, Lord, and their loved ones. Father, we thank you for the miracles that you're doing there, the pouring out of your spirit, Lord, the freedom that you're bringing, the healing that you're bringing, and the empowerment, Lord, that you're releasing. So, Lord, for your kingdom and for your glory, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. So it's been a crazy week. It's been a crazy time. As you guys were here on Friday, we had a chance to really focus our attention on the Lord by doing adoration from his word. And I thought it was such a powerful time because what the Lord has been showing me is that we need to keep our eyes fixed on him. We need to exercise this muscle of faith and hope, right? And one of the tools, as we've learned as being part of this church, is through adoration prayer. And what is adoration for those of you who may be new to this word? It's basically where we declare who God is. It's not like we're reminding him who he is. He knows who he is. It's just an exercise of declaring in prayer, God, this is who you are. And what that does is actually it changes us in our outlook. We're choosing to focus on the Lord, not on circumstances like Noel said earlier, not on the things that are going on around us, but to really focus on him. And once we do that, once we do this adoration, this declaring of who he is, we're actually like rising above the storm, rising above the confusion that's around us. And then we can get his perspective on things. And so that's what we did Friday. And then we went into time of intercession. And so for me, myself, you know, it's been a up and down kind of week / maybe 2 weeks. You know, I was, as most of you have been probably tuning into the news, there's been a lot going on, right? And so I don't like to look at the news, but lately I've just been drawn to like what's going on out there. And I realized that sometimes I'll go into a time of like a little bit despair will hit me, confusion, uncertainty, fear even. And I remember even one night I went up to Amy. Amy probably remembers this. I said, hey, how much money do we need to actually live like the way we're living? Like, what if I lose my job? Are we going to be okay? And then she's like, what are you talking about? So I had to snap out of that real quick. And I went into like, Lord, forgive me. I'm going to focus on you. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Didn't mean to scare you, but you know, I just reacted. I'm like, oh, okay. And so, you know, sometimes we react. To be honest, we're human. Sometimes we're not. We have to catch ourselves, right? And so, if you guys have tuned into the news at all, there's a lot of things going on. A lot of confusion. A lot of things being told to us who are working in government. There's a lot of even airline accidents that have been going on. There's been fires. There's all these things that have been going on. And so we as the people of God, I just felt like the Lord was reminding us, like, you know, hope, we always preach about hope, right? But hope really makes sense when things are not going well. When things are not perfect, that's when hope really matters. Because it's easy to preach hope when things are going well. When things are, you know, perfectly fine in your life, that's, oh yeah, we can talk about hope all day long. But hope really can shine. It's when things are not perfect, when things are not all well. And even today, I just felt like even before I came here, I just felt like there's just like this air of confusion and anxiety just in the atmosphere. But I felt like even in worship, and I thank you, Hunsu, and the worship team, I just felt like we were able to rise above it. You know, as we were declaring who God is, as we were adoring him, as we were worshiping him and declaring his goodness in our lives, I felt like we rose above that. And I really sensed that. And so for us as the people of God, you know, this all this crazy stuff that's going on, we can think of it as also an opportunity an opportunity to shine his love, to be vessels for his hope, to be hope reformers, to be really encouragers of other people. Maybe they don't even know the Lord, but we, if we know the Lord, we should have a different perspective. We should be able to point people to the Lord and say, hey, it's going to be okay. Like, it's going to work out, right? God is in control. I mean, they may not know the Lord, but the way we can represent God by the way we act, by the way we think, by the way we shine in the workplaces, in our schools, that really will matter. And so we as people of God have to be really conscious about how we are processing things, right? We're focused more on what's going on around us, what's on the news, than on the Lord, then we're going to see our kind of mood go down. And once you notice that, just like me, you have to catch yourself and say, no, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm going to turn back to you. Right? I'm going to focus on you. And I'm going to hope in you, because he is the living hope, right? He's the living hope. He's not. We don't worship a God who's made of wood or stone. He's living. He's alive. And if he's all powerful and if he's all good, then we always have a hope. There's always a hope. And so let's go through this. I mean, as a church, as a community, as a body, we walk through this together. Okay? Whatever comes our way, we get to walk through it with the Lord. And we get to shine. Right? And so let's keep our perspective on him. And so today's message is actually from, it's going to be about Jonah, the prophet from the Old Testament. A lot of us know the kid story, right? Where, you know, he gets swallowed by this big fish, this whale, and but there's a profound message in it, right? And so the title of today's message is God's Compassion, Our Yes, and His Mercy. But if you guys were to remember anything from today's message, it would be this: get low and look to God and see what he does. Get low, eyes on the Lord, and see what he does. Okay? So a little background about who Jonah is. So Jonah is an interesting book in the Old Testament. So a lot of times the prophets, they would relay God's message to his people. A lot of the Lord, thus says the Lord, thus says the Lord, thus says the Lord. But in this case, a lot of the message of the book of Jonah is in response. It is a picture of what he did, what he went through, right? So it's almost like one person who looked at the book of Jonah is like almost like a satire, because it's almost comical the way it kind of plays out, and we're gonna flesh that out. But if you look at Jonah as a person, as a prophet, you can see he's a little bit selfish, a little bit. He prefers his comfort, right? Like, I just want to do what I want to do, right? He lacks compassion, right? He lacks a little bit of compassion. He's a little bit prideful as well. So, human-wise, like there's character flaws there, right? But we see that God uses him. And we're going to walk through this. And as we know, if you've heard the children's story, Jonah is called to go to preach to Nineveh. And a little bit of background about Nineveh itself. Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, which is a national power at that time. And they were at war with Israel a lot, right? So they were actually enemies of Israel. And it's located in modern-day Iraq. Okay, they were known for their great wealth and power, but also their brutality. So they were really brutal in their warfare. I mean, they would not only beat you, but they would actually do things to kind of make an example out of you, not to mess with them. So they were very brutal in their tactics. So you can see, it's not really hard to imagine why Jonah wouldn't want to go to preach to these people who are violent, who are, you know, like displaying people's heads out there and enemies of the people of God. So if he felt like God was calling him to do that, there's understandably why he's like, I don't want to go. I don't want to go preach to these people, right? But we see in Jonah 1, God calls Jonah. God speaks to Jonah and says, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. And then how does Jonah respond? But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish. If you could pull up that map, I just wanted to show people what he was thinking, right? So it says here, he went down to the port in Joppa, right by the water. There's a port city. So when he hears the Lord tell him to go to Nineveh, which is east, he goes to the port, right? He goes down to the port city. He finds a boat that was willing to take him all the way to Tarshish, right? I mean, that's just, that's like the world at that time, right? This is geographically their world. And so he's like, how far can I get? How far can I get away from what God wants me to do, right? And so if you see here, he jumps into the boat, and you see how it squiggles around. I don't know if they had like a GPS in the fish at the time, and it just tracked his movement or what, or how they came up with that squiggly. But the point is, he ran away. He was trying to run away all the way to Tarshish in Spain, as far away as he can get, okay? Again, humanly speaking, I get it. I'm like, if these people are that brutal and they're our people's enemies, I don't want to go. Like, I don't want to go preach to them. So again, he goes to Joppa. He gets on a boat, and in the boat, it says they were sailing, and then the storm comes. Like, the Lord sends a storm because Jonah's trying to run away here. But it says Jonah was at the bottom, like under decks, below decks. So there's this picture of Jonah going down to the port city, going down into the boat, and then he goes down into the below decks. So it's this picture of gradually getting lower and lower and lower, right? So now he's in the bottom of the deck. The storm comes, and all these sailors, right, they're praying to their gods. They're praying to their different deities, and like, something. Why is this storm coming right now? Everyone pray. And then someone must have remembered there's somebody down there, right? Someone's sleeping down at the below decks. Go wake him up and get him to pray to his God. And so what does he say, right? It says, the sailors cast lots. And basically, we don't know exactly how that looked, but it was a way that they believed for the deities to speak to them, right? So they cast lots to see, like, who's the one that gods are angry at, pretty much. And a lot fell onto Jonah. And then, what God do you serve? And he says, the God of heaven who made the sea and the land. So Jonah confesses this. My God is the one who created the sea and the land. And then they're probably looking at him like, if your God made the sea and the land, you're trying to run away from him? Like, how silly can you be? Where do you think you're going to run? And so they basically, they don't want to like hurt him. They're like, okay, what should we do? How do we get this storm to stop? And Jonah's like, just throw me overboard. He said, just throw me overboard. And basically, it was kind of like, just kill me. Like, I'm just done. Just throw me overboard so I'll die. And he just kind of like gives up, right? So they actually pray to the God of Jonah and said, hey, like, don't punish us for what we're going to do. This is what he wants, so we're going to do this, right? So they actually pray, and they actually had this bit of faith, and they threw him overboard. Now, when they throw him overboard, he gets, as we know the story, it's a storm. Remember, it's a storm. So he goes into the water. Storm calms down, though. But he thinks, you know, I'm going to, basically, this is the end of my life, because you're in the middle of the Mediterranean. Now, God sends a big fish to swallow him up. And it's interesting here, because it says inside the fish that that Jonah actually begins to consider and really begins to process things. And in Jonah 2, he describes his situation as he's speaking to the Lord from the depths of the grave. Okay? And he also says he's been taken into the very heart of the seas, to the roots of the mountains I sank down. And that's a picture of it's like the picture of the underworld. Like, he's being brought down in the belly of the fish, being brought down even further, right? So it's like being brought down into the earth, to the roots of the mountains I sank down. It's a picture of the grave. And in Jonah 2:6, it says, but you brought my life up from the pit. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. So as he's being brought down in his rebellion, he's being brought down into the sea. And it's in that moment where you actually see him begin to come to grips, come to terms with what he's called to do. He says, but you brought my life up from the pit. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. So that's where we're going to actually read from Jonah 3, verses 1 to 10. Okay, it says, "Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time." So remember, the first time he was told to go to Nineveh, he didn't go. The word came the second time, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you." Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. So here, he's actually decided he's going to listen to the Lord now, and he's going to go. Now, Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by doing a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. So that's all it says that he says, right? Now, we don't know how long he preached or what, but the word only records him saying that. So he's obeying, but I don't know how much his heart is into it, right? I mean, he's going to be bold. He's probably being bold and proclaiming this message that God gave to his people. And remember, these are violent people. He knows he could be just killed and mobbed and right and just his life is gone. So he's being bold. He's actually exercising boldness, but he's doing it in obedience. I really, really doubt, as we'll continue reading, I really, really doubt that his heart was fully into it. Meaning like he really wanted them to repent. Right? So he's just like, I'm just gonna preach what the Lord gave me to preach. Okay? So it says, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. And here it simply says the Ninevites believed God. This people group who were like used to warfare, brutal in their methods, it just says the Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent, and with compassion turn from his fierce anger, so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. So that's the word of the Lord. So the king of this mighty empire took off his robe and he humbled himself and he proclaimed this decree. People and animals are going to go through this. So it's a very, I would call it extreme response, right? From the preaching of someone whose heart may have not been totally into it. But you see the mercies of God. You see the mercies of God at play here. Okay? Could we look at slide 2, Alfred? So there's this picture of Jonah physically going low to get to where we are. Okay? Now this is in the physical, right? So Jonah is a prophet of the God. He's a prophet of the Lord. And when the Lord actually tells him, this is the message I want to give you to the people of Nineveh, he goes down, right? Remember, you're going down to the docks, right? To the seaport, which elevation-wise is actually taking you down. So you're there in Joppa. You go down onto the ship. And even within the ship, he's going down into the depths of the ship. So this physically, there's this going down. There's an imagery here. And after that, he gets thrown into the sea. Again, he's going down into the water now. And then he's in the belly of the fish. And it takes him down to the depths of the grave, he describes it. So this is progressively going lower and lower and lower. Now, he's not doing it willingly, right? He's being forced kind of in this situation because he's disobeying God. But the moment when he says, okay, Lord, you're the Lord of salvation, I'm going to obey. It says the fish spat him up on dry land. So there he goes, back up onto dry land. And then he makes his way to Nineveh where he preaches this message. And the Lord moves because of his eventual obedience. Okay, so there's this imagery, right? Just keep that in mind. So then we go to Jonah 4, the last chapter in Jonah. It says, how does Jonah react? Okay, the people repented. They're like, okay, we're going to call this fast. Maybe God will relent. And it doesn't mean that the people of Nineveh actually believed in Yahweh. They just, the word used was Elohim, right? Not specifically Yahweh. So they knew, like, whoever Jonah's God is, we're going to believe. And we're going to repent, right? And so then God relents. God, out of his mercy, relents. Okay, how does Jonah respond? It says he went outside the city and he went up on a hill. Okay, so think about what he was probably looking on, getting outside the city because he's thinking maybe God will still punish them. Maybe, you know, he'll rain down fire like Sodom and Gomorrah. So I'm going to get out of the city. I'm going to go up in this hill and just watch for a little bit. And it said that, you know, he built himself a little shelter. God provided him a vine to cover him. And he was very pleased with this vine. He was so happy that God gave him this vine. And then over the night, God sent a little worm to eat the vine. The vine's gone. And he just starts pouting. He's just like, I think three times he's like, Lord, just take my life. Like, he's just like, just take my life. I'm just done. Like, he just gives up, right? And then God confronts him in his poutiness and his selfishness here. He says, do you have a right to be angry? Nineveh has more than 120,000 people. Like, this vine that I gave you, you didn't put it there, right? It wasn't you, right? And you're more concerned about this vine than there's 120,000 souls in the city. God's saying, should I not be concerned about them? So it says, and we read it later in 2 Peter, where the Lord desires that none would perish. He doesn't want anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. Okay, that's his heart. So we see here in the story of Jonah, it doesn't say what happens after that, right? We do know later that Nineveh was destroyed, but that was later, okay? Here in this situation, they repented, and the Lord had mercy, the Lord spared them. So then we see three things. Again, God's compassion. God's compassion for the people in the city. We see Jonah's eventual yes. And then we see God's mercy being poured out. So for us here today, right? So we're gonna tie back to even us, our situations in here. We have to recognize God's compassion. One, first of all, for us, right? We know, if we know Jesus, we know that he's given us compassion. He's shown us mercy, right? When we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, it says. When we were still his enemies, he gave up his life for us and saved us. So we, as God's people, Jonah was given a specific directive. He was given an assignment. And for us, as we walk with Jesus day to day, daily taking up our cross, what's our assignment? What are we being called to do? What are we being called to give up? So again, the theme here is being low. Let's get low before the Lord. Right? Let's seek him. And so as God's people, we can tie back to what's going on in this world today. Right? All this confusion, all these things going on, it's easy to get caught up in it. It's easy to try to, like, just analyze everything that's going on in the news. But what we realize is we're never going to be the experts at, like, everything that we're seeing on the news, like, and just get to the bottom of it, right? If we're focusing more on the happenings around us versus the Lord, you're going to see our mentality, our mood's going to kind of go down, right? So we need to get low, despite all the confusion, despite everything that may be going on, and who knows what will happen in the, you know, in the future, but we have, as a people of God, have to be low. Stay low. Be low, like, meaning humble yourself. Lord, I'm going to humble myself before you. And the Lord may give you an assignment. Hey, you know, look into this thing, right? Into this area. You know, maybe one thing on the news, two things, maybe you can focus on that just so you understand, but that depends what the Lord wants you to do. What's my assignment in this season? What are you calling me to do, Jesus? Do you want me to just pray and intercede? Do you want me to do research? Do you want me to, you know, reach out to someone? What's my assignment for this moment, for this time? Right? So we as the people of God can't get caught up in the happenings. Right? Our attention has to be focused on the Lord. So that's part one, right? What is our assignment? And even we look at the compassion of God. Okay? So if we see here that the people of Nineveh were enemies of Israel. So God, we have to realize that God's compassion extends to everybody. Okay? So what our temptation is sometimes is to look on that person like, okay, they're not with us, they're against us. You know, maybe this political group is my enemy, quote unquote. That political group is my enemy. You know, we tend to try to demonize other people that maybe don't have the same views as us, have the same different political affiliation, maybe even people of other faiths, but that's not the way the Lord has called us to navigate. I'm not saying we have to agree with everyone, that's not it. But if we start looking at other people as our enemies, then we're already like disadvantaged. We're already kind of crippled in our witness. Right? So you see how Jonah responded. Jonah, understandably, he didn't want to do it. He may have known people that have got killed by the Assyrians. We don't know. Right? So he may have had a real good reason to not want to go preach. Because what does he say? He's like, Lord, I knew you were going to do this. Like, I didn't want to preach to them because I knew you're compassionate. I knew you're merciful. Why did you show the mercy? You know, like, I knew this was going to happen. That's why I didn't want to go. But Jonah didn't have God's heart. Jonah didn't have God's heart for the lost, for the people, even if they're living in sin, even if they disagree with, you know, Jonah's views, even if they were enemies, quote unquote, of the Israelites, right? We can't look on other people groups, other people of other faith as our enemies, right? We are called to love. We're called to preach the gospel. We're called to be witnesses. And again, this one person said that the book of Jonah is like a mirror, right? It says, even for us, are we okay with God loving our enemies? Are we okay with that? And if we feel a little bit discomfort, like, ooh, not them or not that group, then we have to check our hearts. Right, this should be like a mirror to us. Now, humanly speaking, we honestly, it's hard. It can be hard. You know, people may make you upset. People may offend you. People may just really tick you off. Right? And it's hard in those moments. But that's where practically we get low. Okay, so there's a couple practical takeaways, right? So one, humble yourself before the Lord. Get, you know, this is, if it helps you to physically get down on your knees when you're praying, do it. It's like, Lord, I seek your face, right? Because I, humanly speaking, it's hard for me to hope. It's hard for me to stay positive. It's hard for me to love these people. But Lord, I know you love them. And you start by doing that, right? Get low. Lord, what's your heart? What's your heart for these people? What's your heart for this situation? Lord, do you find hope in this situation? What's your perspective? So getting low before the Lord. And then even another tool that, like we did on Friday, is adoration. Because I'm seriously, like I literally felt the difference. Like throughout this week, there's been times where like, I don't know what's going on. All I can do, I'm just going to start with just adoring you, Lord. And as I adored him, as I declared, God, you are good. God, you have never changed. God, you're above all this. God, you are, you'll never leave us, you'll never forsake us. God, you are our provider. God, you're victorious. God, we know how the story ends. Lord, you are who you are, and you're not shaken. And as I did this, like, I'm like, ooh, like, I feel, I feel different. I feel better. And this is a message for people of every generation, right? Whatever you're struggling with, even if you're in school or if you're at work, if you're retired, these are things we can exercise, right? Because my one question was like, if we know we have to hope, if we know we have to live in hope, can hope be exercised? Can hope be practiced? And the answer is yes. And one tool is doing this adoration prayer, right? So even families, as you guys are on the dinner table, as you're driving your kids to school, hey, let's do some adoration prayer. Let's just adore the Lord, right? Because people can pick up on your anxiousness, on your worriedness, on your fears. You know, you may not even say the same thing. Like, you can kind of just radiate anxiety sometimes. And you may be a little more short-tempered and things like that. So it affects the people around you. But as a family, you come together and you say, no, we're going to adore the Lord. We can adore the Lord through his word. We can just look to him. Oh, I'm going to call my friend and, you know, from the church, and we're just going to pray together and adore the Lord together. You can just confess, hey, I'm feeling a little anxious. Can we pray? Like, you know, I don't know what's going on right now. I just feel like this, everything's going crazy. Can we adore the Lord together? Right? So we are meant to walk in community. God designed it that way. We need to walk in community. So, and we cover one another's weaknesses, as the word says. When one part is weak, you know, we can cover that part in prayer and support and encouragement. Right? We need to encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that our hearts don't become hardened by sin's deceitfulness. That's Hebrews 3:13. Okay? Now, we have about a month until our retreat. I think it's only a month away, right? And so the whole thing that I feel like, one of the things that the Lord's been speaking is like, we get low before the Lord, we look to him and see what he does. So that's the other part. We get low, we humble ourselves, you know, maybe asking ourselves, hey, is there something, God, you want me to give up? Is there something I need to repent of? Do I have a habit that's not helping my walk with you? It's our time to get low and be humble before the Lord and really ask him these questions and see what he does, right? So as we prepare for this retreat, as we approach 1 month away from this retreat or so, let's prepare our hearts. Let's get low before the Lord. Like, hey, what do I need to let go of? You know, what am I worrying about? Or what am I spending my time on that I shouldn't be? You know, and Lord, I want to get right with you so that our hearts will be more ready for what he wants to do. Right? And this is going to help us at the retreat as well. It's not just a retreat, but that's one thing that's coming up for this church. Right? It's not just about the retreat, but even if you can't make the retreat, this is something that we need to do. Today is also Communion Sunday. And so, as always, we're going to tie it back to Jesus. Now, where Jonah resisted God's call, we see Jesus and how he does, and how he fully embraced his Father's call. And Jesus himself ties his ministry back and points to Jonah in Matthew 12. I think we have that scripture up too. Do you have Matthew 12? By any chance? Matthew 12, 38 to 41. Okay. So this is Jesus. After he did some miracles, the Pharisees questioned him. Okay? They're like, hey, show us another miracle. So here it says, then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, teacher, we want to see a sign from you. Basically, they show us something, right? And he, Jesus, answered, a wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. And then he explains what he means. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now something greater than Jonah is here. So he said, the only miracle you're going to see, the only sign you're going to see is the sign of Jonah. Right? They didn't understand what he's talking about. But as Jonah was in the depths of the sea, in the depths of the earth, for 3 days in the belly of the fish, so will he be in the grave for 3 days. And then he rises again. And he says, the men of Nineveh will stand at the judgment. So at the judgment, he's saying, the people of Nineveh repented. You didn't. And I'm greater than Jonah. And the people listen to Jonah, you're not listening to someone greater than him. Right? And the people of Nineveh will condemn you to this generation. So there is this response, right? There's this response that's required. This yes to the Lord brings about his mercy. Right? So we get low, we seek the Lord, we humble ourselves, and we obey. And then the Lord, see what the Lord does. So Jesus himself went low. I'm going to read from Philippians 2. If you could pull up the last slide, slide number 3. I'm going to read this, but you guys will see that Jesus himself goes low as well. Okay? And then the Lord, you see how the Lord exalts him. So there is this thing about going low before the Lord. And again, Jesus did it willingly, though. Jonah resisted. He went low, but he went the hard way, right? by trying to disobey. So Philippians 2, 1 through 11. It says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one of mind, and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. And again, this can be, how do I say, it could be even like a correction of Jonah's mentality. Like, look to the interests of others, not of your own preferences, right? And then it says in verse 5, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So this, in verse 6, who being in the very nature God, so there, he starts, it confesses, he who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. So there's that humbling. When the Father, his heart was to send Jesus to the earth and to be that living sacrifice for us, he obeyed. Where Jonah ran away, Jesus obeyed. So he came, he humbled himself. I mean, Jesus coming down is a bigger leap than from us becoming like an ant, right? It's really humbling himself. So he makes himself a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So he who is the living God, he humbled himself to be a man and humbles himself to even death. But not just any death, right? If he just died, he humbled himself to death. But he humbled himself in the most humiliating method known by humbling himself to be crucified on the cross. Therefore, and it says, here's the part, right? So because he did this, it says, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is our God. This is the God that we serve. The God who willingly obeyed, the God who is compassionate, who took our sins upon himself and paid for it on the cross. And it says he was exalted to the highest place, and now he sits at the right hand of the Father. This is our God. And this is what we're going to remember as we go into our time of communion. So, if I don't know if the elements are being passed out. As the elements are being passed out, I'm gonna pray for us, and we're gonna prepare our hearts. Because as Jonah was brought low, as Jesus willingly went low, we are called to go low before the Lord. We're called to obey. And we will see the glories of God. We will see the hope of God. We will see his kingdom advancement. So, Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your love. I thank you for who you are. I thank you for being the living hope. Lord, what a sacrifice. What a sacrifice you've made for us. We thank you for your body. We thank you for your blood. We confess, Lord, that you are the living God, the one who rose again and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And Lord, because you live, Lord, we may also live. Because you live, we always have hope. Because you are good, because you are for us, because you are with us. You are not shaken, Lord. You are sovereign above all things. So Lord, forgive us, Lord, for any despair. Forgive us for anxiety. Forgive us for keeping our eyes fixed on other things, on lesser things. Father, right now, we get low before you. In our spirits, though, we just humble ourselves. And we say, Lord, we trust in you. We trust you, Jesus. Lord, you are good. You are for us. Your will be done in our lives. Your will be done in our church. Your will be done in the nations. Spirit of God, have your way. God, we just look to you right now. You are the living God. We have nothing to fear. You are victorious, God. And thank you that you called us to be a people of hope. And as a people of hope, Lord, we will walk through every challenge that may come our way. Because you are with us. Because you have given us, Lord, a community, your church. We will go through this together with you. So, Lord, let our light shine before others, Lord. Shine your light through us. Lord, may people look to your church in this time, in this season, and say, they've got something. They've got something I need. They've got answers that I don't have, that I can't find in other things. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. We thank you for the revival, Lord, that you're gonna increase in Jesus' name. We choose to see things from your perspective, God. You have not lost control. You've never lost control. You know what you're doing. You are the good shepherd. You are the perfect leader. You're the perfect king. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So pour out your spirit on the earth, Lord. Pour out your spirit in this nation, God. Pour out your spirit in our schools, in our governments, in our families, in our hearts. And pour out your spirit into the nations, Lord, that you will be glorified. You know how you're going to do it, Lord. And we say, Lord, do it. Have your way. Do it your way. And Lord, prepare your church, Lord, to come alongside. Lord, bring us up to where you are to see things from your perspective. Lord, we stand with you, Lord. We walk with you, Lord. You are the good shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen. And so we're going to go to our time of communion.